Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. All right, welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine. I'm very excited about this guest. I have recently met her in a mastermind that I am in and have been very impressed with her spirit and authenticity. And I would be remiss if I did not have her on the show, on the couch, so to speak, with me, talking about all the things. So I want to introduce you to Veronica Romney. Welcome.
Hi, Amy. Super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my honor for sure. Before we get started and diving into all of the juicy stuff, tell everybody a little bit about you, a little bit about your background.
Okay. So I think classic female, I'm like a Swiss Army knife. So I'm many things and all the things at once. But in a nutshell, I like to call myself a dream team architect. Essentially, my zone of genius is helping people, like matching people to opportunities that business owners have. So like, you know how like in a home, you have the beautiful outside, but then like internally, you're like, I don't want anybody to come in the house. Okay. That's how it is with visionaries and their businesses. Like we have the followers and we have the recognition and the launches, but then internally the team and the home isn't exactly structured the way that you were hoping to, and you don't want anybody to know. I fix that. I'm a very proficient online marketer. I've been an online marketer for 13 plus years. I've been a chief of staff at some very, very big names, you know, like Boss Babe. I've also been a speaker and trainer for Tony Robbins. I can actually bridge the gap between the marketing and the sales and the content and what you see, but the team that's inside actually helping you build all of this amazingness that you're known for.
And this is why I was dying to have you on, because I am that visionary.
Yes.
Without the team, that's going to help me get to where I want to go.
We all start there.
But I'm coming for you fast and furious. So tell me a little bit more about that. Dream team architect. Like I think of like the dream team, the Olympic basketball team sometimes, right? Like that was the ultimate dream team. I don't think that they could replicate that. Yeah. So how do you help? Dive in a little deeper on how that works in getting the team aligned with the vision.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because I've been called lots of things. I had one person call me the goodwill hunting of organizations. I've also been told I'm like the employee whisperer, but we're going to go with architect. Cause I like the tangibility of construction and constructing lanes, but doing it with actually like people. basically putting people, and I mean, you've heard this before, the right people in the right seats doing the right things. But I think we all know that it's way more complicated than just that. Like it's like dating. You can be perfect on paper or perfect in your Tinder profile or whatever. And then you meet somebody like, I don't want to make out with you. Like I know you look great on paper and I should take you to mom, but there's no chemistry here. I don't know why. It's the same thing when you're building essentially a business family, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's honoring the kids. It's honoring the kid that is like, you know, an alpha personality. It's honoring the shy one. It's honoring the creative who's a genius, but has ADHD. You know, it's when you're talking about online businesses in particular, this is kind of the Wild Wild West. This is a manufacturing plant. Okay. Where everybody can like get in a conveyor belt. This is young, fresh, ambitious talent that are discovering themselves that can provide enormous value if you plant them in the right pot and give them clarity of their contribution and to be seen and appreciated for who they are. That doesn't come easy. And so I have just been very, very blessed and very fortunate to have worked behind the scenes of some very big, big names. And so like, I know the deficiencies, like everybody's heard of Traction or Gina Wickman or EOS or like other business organizational design. And then you try to apply those methodologies into like the online business world. It's like, what? Where's the chapter of like having an audience and being an online personality? Where's that chapter? Where's the support for that? Where's the chapter on being a visionary and an integrator when you're first starting out? Like, there's just a lot of shortcomings because we're such a different beast. And so for me, it's like, I'm trying to build a team, a dream team specifically where, yes, you're in the right seat, but more importantly, like, are you a person that should only be an individual contributor because you're really good at doing the thing that you do? If I put you in a place of people management, all of a sudden you're no longer great. And that was a shortcoming on my part, not to see the difference. Vice versa. Are you a strategist? Are you a doer? Are you a leader? Are you a people mother hen? Like, you need all of that variety in a really strong team, just like you do a sports team and all those analogies. But everybody can't have the same skill set. And I'm not even talking about like hard skills. I'm actually talking about like soft skills. And so like, that's what I'm doing is I'm basically taking all that to consideration in this very unique industry that we're a part of and constructing and architecting dream teams for people.
I love it. And like, I follow everything you say almost because I'm trying to learn this and I want to get it right more from the beginning because
100%.
Yeah. I did not in July, I own a counseling center that I've got down. It runs itself now, but I tried to build a team, how I would have built it here in a brick and mortar in person. And it did not work. And the whole entire, because I didn't know online marketing either, right? Mm-hmm. So then I would just kind of follow what one person said. And then I'd be like, oh, you're amazing. I'll pick you. And I didn't really think that through. Mm-hmm. And I've had some really negative experiences with it. So now I've kind of pivoted the entire business and shut that down, even though it was growing successfully, because it wasn't really who I was aligned with speaking with. I went with what was easy. Like marriage was an easy topic for me because I could do it in my sleep. I can help people in their sleep. But that's not who I want to talk to.
Yeah.
So now I am looking at how do I know I'm visionary. I'm also the integrator right now. Also all these things. So I love what you're saying about really getting aligned and thinking.
Well, and I have a lot of empathy for that because have I been behind, you know, multiple 7-figure businesses, 8-figure businnesses? Yes, I have. Do I know? Mm-hmm. Like at that stage of business, it's a highway. It's a highway with an HOV lane. There's 7 lanes deep. You have like the sun pass, like that's a highway, right? Of a construct. But when it's you, yourself, and I, which I'm sure, I mean, I know you're in that stage, quite frankly, I also too, as a solopreneur, like very much in that state as well as a consultant, or maybe your listeners, like, it's like a dirt road. Like we're just going down a dirt road. We're all the things. There's no stop signs. There's no street lights. There's no speed limits. Like we might hit an armadillo. It's going to get crazy. Like that's the best analogy I can give. It's like when you're by yourself doing all the things, you're all the roles in the car and you're on a dirt road, just doing the best that you can. And somehow, some way we have to get from a dirt road with one person in a car to a 7-lane concrete highway with like a 15 passenger van. So it's a journey to say the least. And I think there's good principles. I think, you know, I have just learned going through that evolution, me empathetically going through the situation, but also being behind the big, big, big names, seeing that evolution firsthand to know, okay, at about $500,000, this is going to break. At about $1 million, you're going to want this person. At like, I know some of those like checkpoints, so to speak, that you're going to come across. Now at this stage, like when you're like, if the goal is six figures and it's you, yourself, and I, like the greatest thing, honestly, the biggest thing that you can do right now at this stage, the number one person that you should like bring into your court to like spend money on outside of yourself is somebody who does tech. Yeah. And I know everybody says, I'll get an executive assistant, which I'm not, I love assistants. I read, you know, Tim Ferriss' 4-Hour Workweek. It was like life-changing. Absolutely. I totally get it. However, I can do a lot of my own executive assisting, but what I can't do, or what will take me months to do, is always when it comes to the tech. I can design in Canva. I can get away with some copy, even though I wouldn't consider myself like the best, the world's best copywriter. But when it comes to wiring softwares, oh my gosh. Never have me do that. Please don't ever. Like, I don't want to be like a, you know, this squat team. Like, I don't have an interest in that. So I know at different stages, like the biggest help that you can actually surround yourself is maybe not what you're hearing online that can actually move the needle and make more money faster.
I love that, because I've gotten lucky with the tech in that an assistant that I hired
is a virtual assistant.
Is now trained herself, moves in, connects all the stuff. Like, I could not tell you how to go into the back of this stuff at all, but she can. And that is not really what I hired her to be. But when we were doing this, it was just me and her, like, we were all doing all the things, and she's very gifted at it. So I got lucky there.
Super lucky. Super lucky, because I feel like most baby visionaries or just getting started, like solopreneurs, I think they immediately think, oh, I hate social media, but I know it's like the necessary evil. So let me get a social media assistant. And I think that's such a poor choice for a number of reasons. Number one, as soon as you relinquish your messaging, as soon as you relinquish the connection you have with an audience that you're trying to build from the ground up, potentially, you don't know what's resonating. So like when I was getting trained as a speaker to be right for Tony Robbins, and we were getting flown out to Milwaukee and trained with Pat Quinn and all this stuff, you know, his greatest advice to me was like, when you're practicing or you're trying to learn how to speak, you know, I think a lot of speakers will watch the tape, meaning they'll watch themselves. So they'll do a performance, they'll do a keynote for 45 minutes, they'll record themselves, and they'll just watch their movements. He's like, don't do that. Put the camera on the audience. Because what you want, I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care if you're like, at first, if you're like stalking the stage, like a tiger in a pen, like, or you're rocking yourself, like as a female, like we rock ourselves, like we're rocking the baby to like self-soothe. It's like the infant in our arms. He's like, that doesn't matter at first. What matters is, did you say something that somebody had a physical reaction to? Did they nod their head? Did they have a gasp? Did they, when you said, you know, I know all of you feel like you're the world's best kept secret, and everyone's like, yes, like if only people knew how much I could help. Like if you're saying lines that people are connecting with, that is the most powerful thing that you can garner when you're first getting started in business. And that happens on social media. That happens through emails. That happens through a lot of stuff. If you relinquish sales and marketing doings to assistants, you don't ever have a pulse on your audience to know what to keep making.
Yeah. Yes, it absolutely is resonating with me big time, because those are the first two people I was told to hire. And I hired pretty well-known coaches as well, but it was executive assistant, get your social media outsourced. Yep. You know, it was all those things.
Yep.
And I actually just about a week ago started pulling the social media back to me because I'm building the new audience. And I was like, yeah, this isn't working for me anymore. And I love, you just validated me. Thank you very much.
Well, that's what you're doing. I mean, I already knew that you were brilliant and smart and beautiful and all of those things. So I didn't have to validate anything, but it's the truth. Like, if you're not comfortable writing at the beginning, this is not going to be a good road for you. Like, we're constantly having to produce content, and there's multiple ways to do that. You can either like walk around the neighborhood and like transcribe it into an app. And the app is like transcribing while you're talking, if you prefer to like talk with your hands, and, you know, versus like sitting in front of like a desk with a keyboard. There's many ways to produce content depending on your gift, whether it's writing or speaking or whatever, or drawing. But as soon as you outsource that, especially at the beginning of a baby business, it's like, I think it's one of the worst things that you can do.
Oh, I love that. So tell me something. I'm going to flip it on you for a minute. Share one thing that you've done that most people wouldn't believe that you've done it.
That I haven't done. It's like that game where it's like, what, two truths and a lie. So it's like, I'm allergic to jellyfish. So if I get stung by a jellyfish, I'll go to the hospital. Random fact about me. I'm 100% Latina. You wouldn't know. I'm 100% Cuban. So things that you wouldn't know that I have done. How about this? I think it surprises people when they find out how many roles that I've had to carry, which I think is like, at the time I was like, this is hell, you know, like to do things that I wouldn't consider my superpowers or my genius or even my excellence. But you, when you're coming up in the marketing world, like you, when I say Swiss Army knife, like I really mean it. Like I've, at 20 years old, I was deploying 6+ million emails because I was the email marketing manager at ancestry.com. And my favorite story with that is that I was the one that deployed an email from the CEO to our entire subscriber base. Like it was like a holiday, like letter, like a, you know, state of the union letter. And it passed through like 6 different people. So I didn't get fired for this, but it said, dear # first name # It never pulled the first name from the list to like, and I like cried. So like, I have done some crazy stuff, right? I've been at conventions. I've done speaking stuff. I've deployed emails. Who gives a 20-year-old an email list of like 6 million to deploy to? Oh, well, they did it to me. So like, I have done many a task that you can probably think of, and then some. Yeah, I guess that would be, I think I'd always surprise people like, you've done that, or you've worked for this person, or that you did that. I'm like, yeah, man, like, you want to jump out of a plane? Let's jump out of a plane. If I had to do it for the client, like, you know, I don't know, just crazy stories like that.
No. I love that. That just makes me laugh and smile all at the same time. I love your story. So one of the things that I'm passionate about is, especially with women, is helping them when they're wearing all the different hats. So high achieving women, we get lost in those because we're mom, nurse, cook, chauffeur, business owner, wife, all the things, sister, brother, daughter. I mean, tons of hats. I can't even name the hats that I went through in the last 2 hours. There's so many because it shifts. So when you take that, I'm very passionate about that because I find that women lose themselves. They lose who they are. They aren't able to authentically live themselves. They lose their joy. I hear that all the time. What brings you joy? And when people can't answer that question, and it's quite often, and I know I was once there, then I'm like, okay, we don't even know who we are. We're just making it through the day. So when you take business owners, right? How do you help with them feeling the stress to be all the things?
Yeah. So I'm going to give you the same advice that I would give for like a solopreneur that has to do all the things. We're visionaries, we're integrators, we're taking out our own trash. We're doing all the things, like all the things, right? So I'm going to give you the same advice that I would give to my baby visionaries as I would to a mom, to any mom. I don't care if you're working, stay at home. I don't care what kind of mom you are, a mom, right? Yeah. So for me, when there is not enough space, I don't believe in balance. You should probably know this about me before I even get started. I don't believe in balance. I fundamentally repel that ideology that like at some point that my children are perfectly dressed and like I'm making tons and tons of money and my husband and I are like, can't keep our hands off each other. That's not true. No,
I agree with you 100%.
Right. So it's not balance where everything is just balanced. It's more like you as a person have space and capacity. And some people have a really high threshold for capacity. We can handle 5,000 dragons in one day. And some people have less capacity because of their circumstances and they can handle 5 dragons in a day. But the point is like we have space and we have capacity for our lives. And sometimes there's just way too much in that. Like you don't have enough capacity for everything that you just described. And you're doing all the things and in the process, you're like, I do everything for everyone else. I'm still not even getting an A+ on that. I don't even take care of myself. So I'm getting a C- doing it for everybody else. And I'm getting an F for myself. Right. And it's a really hard place to be because you just feel like, God, this can't be my life, you know? So the advice that I would give to anybody, whether you're starting a business or you're just in the throes of like life, is you really only have three choices when this happens. When your list exceeds your space and capacity, you have three choices. You can either delegate, alternate, or eliminate.
Okay.
You either delegate it to someone else, in this case, a tech person, an assistant, your 10-year-old child who should probably be like doing his own laundry at this point, whatever, right? You're delegating. Or you're alternating. And that was a hard conversation I had with my husband too, because it's like we're both working parents. So I'm like, why am I picking up the kids 90% of the time? Or why, you know, for him, his perspective, like I'm cooking their breakfast 90% of the time. Like we have to alternate. We're not divorced parents. But divorced parents have to alternate. We're in a union together. Why aren't we alternating now? Like, why do we have to get to that point to realize that we have to do it no matter what? Like, right? So you're either going to delegate it out. You're going to alternate it out with people that can like provide you hands and their capacity. Or quite frankly, you just have to eliminate it.
Right.
Right. Which I think for business people in particular, what basically means what you're eliminating is the execution of too many ideas at one given time. Because we are never short of ideation. We are never short of what we can do or who we can serve. And we're multi-passionate human beings. We're Swiss Army knives, right? So right. When I say eliminate in that scenario, what I mean is like, put it on a sheet, put it on a Google Doc, wherever you want to put it. Put it somewhere that you feel like, I still have it, but I know that I can't do this yet. So like if right. there's 10 ideas that I had for the quarter and my child gets sick, 10 goes to one. It is what it is. And I have to honor the season of life that I'm in because it's quite frankly, it's not in my hands.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I am 100% resonating with everything you're saying because I think it does have to be a season. I'm different now as I'm getting ready to go into the empty nest season.
Sure.
And it's, you know, 100% different than it was even 2 years ago, having teenagers, 3 years ago, having teenagers in my house. And then the younger years, oh my gosh, I don't even remember some of them. They were so crazy.
Just blacked out. We all blacked out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't even know what we were doing because I didn't eliminate things and I didn't delegate things.
Yeah.
And it's taken me this long. I was like, if I could tell my 30-year-old self what my 50-year-old self now knows, yeah. Right? So I love that. So tell me about you. What is something unique about you? I know you're the dream team architect, but outside of that, what's unique about you?
So, okay. I think the thing that I have struggled with, and I'll be vulnerable too. Like I struggle with planting my flag. I struggle with saying I'm just the thing, but because for me, I have such a heart to serve. Yes. That like, you got marketing problems? Okay, fine. You have branding problems? You have a flat tire? Okay, that's been really difficult for me because I feel like if you want to serve, I think God will put a lot of opportunities for you to serve. How about that, right? Because like all he needs is hands. And so like I have hands that I want to help. So planting my flag as a personality in the online space has always been very challenging to me because which one do you want me to plant my flag? And as I've read and educated myself more about whether it be different personalities or working with different personalities or working with different leaders or becoming a leader myself, what I've realized, I think what makes me unique, other than like I'm operationally minded in a marketing arena, which is different, but like this hit me really hard. I read the book Traction by Gina Wickman, but then I also read Rocket Fuel, which is the whole dynamic between like a visionary persona and an integrator persona. So visionary is like Walt Disney, Mickey, and this big dream. And then he almost goes bankrupt until his brother helps him actually build a business that doesn't go bankrupt, right? I'm both.
Okay. Wow.
There's 1 out of every 20 people can actually do both or can choose the lane of both or perform both. Mm-hmm. Meaning I can ideate and dream and have incredible marketing and vision and things like that as a visionary. Like I can think 10 years out and I like have all these divisions and da 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 da. And then I can also integrate. And I can be just as comfortable in the trenches of the business, working with all the busy bees to make the honey. And I can thrive in that arena too. So like when I say that I am capable of bridging both marketing and operations, which are fundamentally like right brain, left brain, yeah. It's because I am both brains. Like I am left and right at all times too.
I love that. I am not. Most people are not. That's why that's so unique about you, right?
Yeah. No, most are visionaries. I guess for every four dreamers is one doer. So like the vision, the ideation, Sarah Blakely says it in her masterclass. She's like, everybody has had a $1 million idea. Mm-hmm. It's not that they've executed it, but everybody has had a $1 million idea. I'm like, I completely understand that. That is 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you do in your free time?
Oh my gosh. So I'm also currently in the process, by the way, of like alternating, delegating and eliminating. And my beautiful husband, he does not swear at all. Like at all. I will go biblical swear words. He won't even swear. He's like that pure. There was one day, because every weekend we're like doing 50 million loads of laundry because I don't have time Monday through Friday. So I'm like every weekend, it's like loads and loads and loads of laundry. I'm like, I don't even have a hobby anymore. He was just like, he's like that stupid A laundry. I'm tired of it. I'm like, did you just swear? He's like, I did. He's like, so we are also in the process of asking for help with some of the activities in the home so that I actually can have a hobby. So outside of like reading and outside of like working out, my husband and I, we live like 2 minutes from a park that has these pickleball courts.
Yes.
Like bought all these pickleball, like and paddles and all this stuff. And so we really, really want to get into that if we're not doing stupid A laundry every single weekend. So I'm very much proactively in the process of actually like trying to get more activity, especially with him. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm sure that this resonates with you. Like when you become a parent, your poor spouse, like,
yeah,
poor spouse, you know? So for me, I'm like, it's more time with him. My parents are in the process of retiring and they're like, I'll take the kids. I'm like, great. So like, we are in that season of like, how can we spend more time together doing not stupid A laundry?
Oh, yeah. I love that too. So that, I think it's, I ask you these things because I think they make you become a better holistic person, for right? Sure. And it's generational. So like you're showing your kids and then even your team within your workplace when you have one, I know you're back to solopreneur, but when you get that, right? I know that's one thing you talk about is that impacts the people all around you. Is that when we're taking care of ourselves and being intentional about our time. Yeah. So using the workplace time and to become a better person,
yes.
Not saving it for after work.
Yes. So
can you speak to that?
Yeah, you and I shared this story, and it's still, as a 20-year-old young professional, is probably one of the most profound things that has ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. So I started my career literally at Ancestry.com. This was right before they had gone public too. So it's like the big company that you know today, we were in the throes of that right in the process. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very young, one of the youngest team members, I'm 20 years old, right? And the director of HR was like, I'm going to pair you up with another female on the team who's probably at that time, I want to say she was in her 40s. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's a seasoned working female professional. And yeah. I'm going to have you meet with her probably once a month and she can kind of mentor you. And I remember sitting with her. And one of the things, I don't remember what I said, I don't remember what prompted the combo. Mm-hmm. I just remember her sitting me down and saying, hey, because we both came from the same Christian faith.
Yes.
And she's like, so like, what's the whole point of Christianity is to become better, right? To become, you know what I'm saying, right? Be respectful, but like to become better. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't understand why people don't think that that activity also happens at work. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. Because I think sometimes we compartmentalize our lives too much where it's like, okay, now I'm wearing the wife hat. Now I'm wearing the mom hat. Now I'm wearing the worker hat. Now I'm wearing the church going Sunday hat. And that's not true. Like your values, wherever they come from, are your values 24/7?
Yeah. So
why am I shelving my self-improvement for when I'm not working 40, 50 plus hours a week? That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So that hit me on a personal level at 20 years old, that I should look at my work time as an opportunity to work with personalities that I don't want to do activities that I don't want to maybe be treated the way that I don't want to, but to have that, like, not make me, but show everybody who I already am, which is somebody that has values and integrity, right? That was at 20 years old. Now, fast forward, I'm in my 30s and I'm like, now I'm a leader. So now I'm the person that gets to mentor people that are chapters behind me a little bit. And it has always resonated with me. And I take it very seriously as a people manager, whether it be a chief, a director, I don't care what the title is. I am 100% in control of your experience when you're away from your family and you spend more time with me and this environment than you do with your own family. So it, shame on me if I don't take that mantle seriously. Yeah. So for me, it's always been the utmost thing to create a container, a flower pot where my staff can bloom to their fullest potential, where they feel safe and seen. They're never questioning ever if they're doing a good job. They always know where they stand. They know what's expected of them. Like, I want to make them feel safe and loved and appreciated for their contribution, because how I flower, like how I water their pot at work is how they then also show up in their personal lives. So if they gain confidence and they see their genius with me, they go home to their companions, to their kids, and mommy's standing tall. That's really important to me.
Absolutely. And that's where I mentioned the whole generational thing.
Yeah.
As if you have a leader like that in the workplace, and I'm very intentional about that. Yeah. But I've also been known to get so busy, and some of my team would liken it at the counseling center, liken it as the tornado just kind of comes through. So I have to be very intentional about slowing myself back down so that, I love your flower pot analogy, so that I can put the soil and nurture their blooms. Yeah. Otherwise, I may just blow right by them. So I have learned, I've had to settle myself back down so I don't miss that.
It's funny too, because like when I'm consulting my visionaries, I'm trying to like, hey, we need to like, we're creating a flower pot for the marketing team, we're creating one for the content team, one for the operations team. Okay, we need this kind of soil, and these, like in this department, we need tulips. We don't need sunflowers. Like, so we're kind of, let's go with the gardening analogy, right? So we're planting this garden. When I'm trying to explain to them, like, I don't need an individual contributor in this role. Like, I actually need a people manager in this role. Usually the response I get is like, well, but what are they going to do all day? I'm like, do you understand what it is to be a gardener? Like, planting the seeds is just one part of it. Like, to nurture your team is actually incredibly proactive and time consuming, to have the one-on-ones, to make sure that you're doing the team meetings, to do the rah-rah, to intervene when you know that your writer is having a creative block and they're freaking out over their job. Like, yes, people managers actually spend, a great people manager spends a lot of time actually taking care of their family, the business family, even if they're not like doing things, which it's always like the one thing that I just want to like, you have no idea. Let me teach you.
Yes. And that's so funny, because I had a meeting yesterday and that's where somebody told me I was like the tornado. I was like, I'm trying so hard, but I know it's not my gift. And the reason I was talking to this person is I know it is hers.
Ooh.
And I've never paid somebody to be in that role of managing the people.
Yeah.
We have an operations director that handles the day-to-day of the operation,
yep,
but not the people.
Yep.
I had been that. I'm not good at that. So yep. I'm actually getting ready. She just
said that's fantastic. That, like, I think I just, like, my heart exploded like a Care Bear. I don't know. Like, yeah, because you do operations director, they manage processes and they manage the nuts and the bolts and the things, but like, who's holding the people? Because that's not the same skill set.
Right. And I want to hold the people. I feel like I'm serving my team here,
yeah,
but I need somebody to serve them better, because my focus is also serving the audience.
Yeah.
Online,
yep.
And I'm much better at that.
Yep.
I'm much better. And I'm much better someone.
Quite frankly, that's where you as an employee, that what is what pays my checks. So right. For me, I would never want you as a visionary to feel bad about like, oh, I'm not a good leader because I'm not a good people manager. No. You're best utilized when you are actually serving the outside world, because that actually brings money. All, where does the soil come from? Where does the seeds come from? Like, where do the pots come from? Somebody's got to pay for it, right? You are better utilized to like go shield us from the outside world, go do the thing that like we need you to do so that you take care of us at home. But somebody still needs to watch the kids at home too. So not to be like patriotical, but like it's that mentality of like, this is a house. Like we need somebody to go out and like get us the food, like back in the primitive days. We need somebody like also to help with the kids at home too. So it's both. And the fact that you recognize that in yourself and not in a less than way, like, oh, I'm not blank enough. So that, you know, no. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And the fact that you recognize somebody has a strength that you don't says volumes of the leader that you are.
Mm-hmm. It feels so good. Okay, let me see. I have another question that I want to ask before we wrap up. And it's, I think sometimes we wear masks, right? Like I wear a mask if I'm at the grocery store, the doctor, in the boardroom, on the podcast. But sometimes I think we wear so many masks to hide behind as women in whatever role they are that we don't really look at those that we might need to shed. So for me, I needed to shed that I was not being vulnerable, open with my team here, or even my friends, right? I was like hiding behind some things because I didn't trust that I could open up.
Yeah.
Which was totally untrue when I finally did it. So what is a mask that you tend to hide behind that you might need to get rid of?
Yeah. So, oh God, this is like, it's just hitting me in a lot of ways. I'm like, oh, because I was just listening to a podcast with Simon Sinek and Brene Brown. And I'm like, oh, here we go, right? Like vulnerability and shame and human behavior and the study of. But I do think that a lot of leaders, we're seeing it, by the way, this is happening in like politics. This is happening across the world. Like Gone are the days where leaders would get up and be like, yeah, we tried to do this thing and it just didn't work out. Oops, but we really tried. Like that doesn't exist anymore. And it's this persona of perfection,
right?
It's BS. Oh my gosh. And I say that as a Virgo, I say that as like a horoscope sign that is known for being a perfectionist. Like, oh my, I'm the oldest daughter. Like, oh, it's a cocktail of sorts for me for sure. But like, yeah, it's the persona of like, I got it all together. Meaning like everything's perfect and nothing's broken and don't worry about the leaky, like don't look, you know, it's when somebody from church comes to your house at random to say hi and you like shove everything into every corner that you can think of because, you know, heaven forbid they see that it's not perfect.
Right.
I rebuke that. Like I just, for me, I think the more transparent that you can be as a leader, the more honest that you are with yourself. So like when I'm in an organization and I'm working with a leader who like, I know that they're crying and I know they're upset and I know they're like miserable, but then they get in front of the company call and they're like, everything's great. I'm like, what in the world? Like, This isn't integrity. You're not being truthful with yourself. You're not being whole with yourself. Mm-hmm. And this has to eat away at you, like to not show up as you are or how, you know, things are. I also think that's a huge problem in the online industry in particular because of freaking social media. Because I think a lot of us are selling products with the promise of a lifestyle. Like, oh, if you just go on business on your own, or if you just launch an online course, or if you just do XYZ, you can have the lifestyle that I'm showing you on social media. That has made this 5,000 times worse to, you know, the inauthenticity that's happening is really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you were to make a commitment to like shed a persona or a mask, it would be the persona of perfection. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist at all. And I think for me as a leader, like I've had conversations with my team where we've had a bad launch where I'm like, we did everything and we still broke even. And we like, oh, that's rough. And that's going to affect the quarter's bonus. And I'm telling you that 45 days into the quarter, not after the quarter closes and no one knows, and they think they're going to get a bonus. Like, actually, I never said it wasn't going well and you're not getting a bonus.
Right.
That sucks.
Yes.
Don't do that. So yeah. I just rather be transparent. And like, when we celebrate because we all know. And if we don't, if we fall short, we all know that we fell short because we're just being transparent along the way.
It kind of reminds me of somebody said once, if you ever have to let someone go for performance, they should never be surprised for 100%. That. But I've been in so many situations where the people are surprised by that.
Yeah.
So I think as leaders and as, especially like in your role of leading leaders, right? That's so important that it just oozes from you, right? Like
usually that's a failure because of the inability to have crucial conversations.
Right.
That screams passive aggressive and insecure or immature. Mm-hmm. On most, if a leader's incapable of saying, hey, I'm not happy with how things are going, until after they want to let somebody go. Come on.
Yeah. Not fair.
Not fair.
That's within the leader. Yeah. So I have loved having you on here. So could you tell everybody that might be listening, how can they find you? We already know what you're going to help them do as a dream team architect, but like, who are the people that you are looking, where's your flag planted specifically?
So, yeah. So for me, if anybody who's listening is either this or knows someone like this, I work with visionaries. So like, if you're a visionary of a company, you've already had some level of financial success in the sense that you can pay for other people other than yourself, and you're not happy with the structure of the internal home of your business. And you know that you're kind of like, it's just not humming. It's not thriving like it could be, or you're too in the weeds. Like you're more operating than owning your business. That's usually, it's like Ghostbusters. Like that's when you call me Ghostbusters. I'm that person. If you're not happy with the team and you know that it's just not where you want it to be, and you know, it's preventing you from scaling because you can't do it by yourself, that's when you call me. And then as far as where you can find me, I'm on social media everywhere, just as V Romney, because my name's long enough as it is. So let's just go with V Romney, and you can find me at veronicaromney.com too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. It has been a blessing and a pleasure for me. And I know for very many people that are going to listen.
Likewise, an absolute joy. Thank you, Amy.
Okay. That wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges, from reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com and let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.